and on earth. It's also kind of fitting in New York. It usually falls on Marathon Sunday. The New Testament describes the Christian life as a marathon, not a sprint, a lifelong marathon of being faithful and being strong in the Lord, as we just sang. Our God is faithful from generation to generation. Here at True Light, like last Sunday with the coffee hour, many of us are from families that have been here from generation to generation. It's a special place here for that, from the founding of True Light to today. God is faithful. You could see it on the pictures out in the hallway there, for each and every new generation. And just as God has been with us in the past here at True Light, God will be with us in the future. And All Saints Day is a day to realize that, especially every year. Our history here at True Light from generation to generation, it gives us a helpful perspective, a big picture for living out our faith today, here and now, in this year. You know, over the years, I often get to teach a course on Christian church history. And now, I know many students and people don't like history. They think it's boring, about dates and figures long past. Yet as I teach the history of the church, it's something alive. It's actually his story. It's his story, the story of Christ. The story of Christ is a risen story. It's a story of victory. The church is the body of Christ, lives it out imperfectly, but as best we can in this life. And this history of the church, his story, in and through his body, the church, goes on from generation to generation. From the beginning of this, his story of the church, Christian church history, the saints are all those in heaven and on earth who participate in the living life of Christ. Those who follow him in suffering and resurrection, after believing in Christ unto death, enjoy the presence of Christ in heaven, the union with him that began here on earth, realized in the life to come. This teaching of saints in the church combines all aspects of history, past, present, future, the life of heaven that is promised to us, a church militant in action, a church triumphant in glory, the living continuity of the mystical body of Christ from generation to generation, all one in Jesus. His story, the story of Christ, the church as the body of Christ. It spans heaven and earth. This teaching of the church, his story, connects heaven and earth and continues to bring comfort to us as Christians. For loved ones, previous generations in the Christian faith, we're still one in Christ. The dead in Christ, the living in Christ, it's all his story. We all participate at different points in the eternal life of Jesus. Our story as Christians is Christ's story who lives from generation to generation. And so much of our service today, from our hymns to our readings, show this to us this morning. The book of Revelation, our first reading, it's the last book of the Bible, gives us a glimpse into the end, a glimpse of heaven. Wonderful words, right? After this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from every language, tribes, and peoples, before the throne of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, singing, "Salvation belongs to our God, to the Lamb of God, Jesus." Angels there, saints there, cacophony of praise, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, for this is the feast as we sing on Sundays, might be to God forever and ever. We see a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and language, all centered in Jesus. And you know what? Well, we usually take count, right, of who's here each Sunday, and it's good to remember to be here. We look forward in faith to a countless future, being surrounded by a huge crowd of heaven, beyond count, from everywhere in the world. This is our destiny in Jesus Christ. This teaching, the church, the body of Christ, his story, expands and connects heaven and earth, continues, right? To bring us comfort and peace. We participate in this life of Christ, just as generations before us, that connects the living and the dead, earth and heaven. There's one story I like from church history that illustrates this participation in the life of Christ, being part of his story. It's from way back, 500 years ago. It happened in a city called Marburg, Germany, 1529 to be precise. It's his story. There at a city called Marburg some 500 years ago, met two great reformers or theologians of the church at that time. We celebrated last week the Reformation. We meet Martin Luther. We meet Ulrich Zwingli, two famous reformers, pastors of the church. And they got into it, if you will, over Christ. Where is the body of Christ? They got into it over his story. And they agreed on much. The book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke both tell us clearly that the body of Christ, Christ himself ascended, went up into heaven. We no longer see Christ directly. We run the marathon of faith in this life. Hebrews puts it in the New Testament, although we might be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, faith is belief in what is not seen. Where is this body of Christ? Zwingli said, in heaven, at the right hand of God. That's what said in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Where is Christ? Luther agreed, Christ is in heaven, say it in the Creed. Book of Acts, the book of Luke. But Luther also said something else. That same body of Christ is not only in heaven, but it's here on earth. In a mystery of continuity. It's given every time we receive the Lord's Supper. Christ says, take and eat, this is my body. This is my blood. We participate in the living life of Christ in his body. The same body in heaven and the same body here on earth. In this wonderful revelation of the continuity of the living Christ. Luther insisted on this point. This is what the scriptures say after all. This is my body. This is my blood here and now. When we partake of that communion, we're united as a community in Christ. And if you extend that out, right, who are we united with? With the dead in Christ, with the living in Christ. All those who have ever or will ever commune with Christ are all there together, partaking of the same living body of Christ, one communion in heaven and on earth, to commune, to participate, to be part of his story. This is what connects the living and the dead, heaven and earth. And when we commune with loved ones who have died in the faith. We partake of the living life of Christ, heaven here on earth, a little glimpse of it. We receive that. It's good to remember that on All Saints Day especially, that communion is more than just me and Jesus, but Jesus and all of his body of Christ in heaven and on earth, partakers of eternal life in Christ, the full communion of the church in all times and places. Where did Christ go when he ascended into heaven? Luther was pressed on this point 500 years ago. And in response to where Christ went when he bodily ascended into heaven, Luther answered, into the cosmos, into the world. Luther answered, into all the world. Jesus himself says in Matthew's gospel, right before he ascends into heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples in my name, baptizing and teaching into all the world. We are the body of Christ. As God's word says, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. We are the body of Christ, partakers of Christ in communion. Christ works his saving power through us, in us, often in spite of us, with us. Disciples of Jesus are being made and have been made from all nations by Christ, at work through his church, through his people, through the body of Christ, by our ministry, by our service. This is how Christ is active all over the world. Our first reading says in Revelation, the promise of heaven is the glimpse of disciples of Christ from all languages and nations. This is being done now in us and through us, the body of Christ, church history. It's his story. Our gospel reading gives us that blessing. You see, every time that we're a peacemaker, we're blessed and we're making a blessing for others. We're bringing peace to division. That's what our gospel reading today promises. Christ is making peace through peacemakers. Every time we make peace and not argue and divide, we are doing Christ's work in the world. Bring some peace this week, right? Bring it. Bring Jesus to those around us. And every time it says in the Beatitudes, we might feel like we're burned out and haven't enough. Every time we're poor in spirit and depleted in mercy, every time we feel like that, burned out, dropped out, no good, every time we express that spiritual need, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. After all, Christ is our strength. Christ is our power. Christ is our life. When we are weak, his grace is sufficient for us. It's his story. It's his church. Where is Jesus Christ today? In New York City. He's embodied through us. He lives through us, the living saints. He's fully present here as he's promised to be for centuries and as he still is in this communion which we partake, which we kneel and receive with all the saints, with all those in heaven and earth who partake in Christ. Here we realize again when we eat that we actually are what we eat. The body of Christ, the body of Christ. That's it. We realize again that diet of Jesus transforms us. And we are that body to be peacemakers and poor in spirit and strong in Jesus. This teaching of the church is his story. It connects heaven and earth, generation to generation. It brings comfort and peace. It's our story as the body of Christ. Our story is Christ's story, who is with us forever. Amen.